Hello and welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. My name is Dave Ahrens and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Unbundled Attorney. In this podcast, we interview many of our provider attorneys, as well as some of the leading experts in the industry to isolate the best practices for building internet-generated leads and how to ethically and effectively offer unbundled legal services and other more affordable options in your practice. For more information about our services, visit www.unbundledattorney.com. Hello and welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to be interviewing one of our provider attorneys, Ms. Sue Boonlu Tai, who's an immigration and family law attorney up in Seattle. And it's called the turnaround episode for a very good reason, and that is that Sue, when she first got started, was not doing so well with the leads, and she had a very critical turnaround moment about two to four weeks into the process where she made a significant shift in the way she was approaching the calls from a standpoint of seeing the clients as people that would meet her needs, make her money, pay her bills, and so forth, to a standpoint of service and how she could serve the needs of the client and how she could help them overcome and make a difference in what they're trying to accomplish, you know, and to empathize with the fact that it's quite scary for many folks to reach out to someone they don't even know for help and to turn over the control of something to someone else. We talk about that, and that ends up playing out through the rest of the episode on how that new service-based philosophy comes into play on not only the, you know, before you even get on the phone, to that those initial first few minutes on the call, to the questions you ask, to the script that we provide and walking through the most important aspects of the script, and all the way through to the end of servicing the client when they come in the office. So it's a core principle, it's a core philosophy that she's been able to integrate into her practice and discovered shortly after taking her initial leads. And so this is a great episode, especially if you've been struggling lately or not seeing the results you used to, or maybe you haven't seen the results yet and you want to shift things. It really could be something on the lines of what it was for Sue that made the difference for her and has since turned around her results to go from converting zero clients out of maybe 10 or so to now having two or three out of every five elect to hire her. So it's really been a significant shift. So with that, let's get right into it. And this episode with Ms. Sue Boonlu Tai, one of our provider attorneys in Seattle, Washington. All right. Welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. I am very pleased today because we have one of our newer attorneys, Ms. Sue. And could you give me the proper pronunciation of your last name?
It's Boonlu Tai.
Boonlu Tai. So we have Sue Boonlu Tai with us today, who is very, very strong in the immigration arena, and that's where we're going to be kind of focusing our chat today, because that she has a lot of experience there, and we're kind of diving in on how she's been doing, and so far has been doing great with the immigration clients we've been sending her in the Seattle area. So, Sue, welcome to the call. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
All right, so maybe where we could start, Sue, is first of all, maybe you could give a little bit of background on kind of how you got started with your practice, you know, where you're from, and so that people kind of get to know a little bit more about who you are and what your practice is all about.
Okay, great. My practice is in the Seattle, Washington area, and I started out 15 years ago wanting to basically focus on trial work. I'm doing PI, but somehow by chance I couldn't find any work and ended up working for a law firm that does immigration law. I worked for them for 6 months and then went out on my own. So ever since then, I've had what is called a mixed practice, primarily doing immigration as well as personal injury, and that's what I've done ever since.
Great. Okay. And so I think, you know, we've been working together, let's see, Sue, maybe about a couple months now. You got started maybe just after the holiday. This is being recorded in the beginning of March, so you started just after the holiday, right?
I think so, yeah. I think it was January, because I remember setting my goals and say, you know what, this coming year I want to do something different, and I think somehow it just kind of happened. So I think probably, after January.
Okay, and so then to give a little bit of context, since then, and this is great because, you know, we have a lot of attorneys that have been working with us for a year or two, and so the fact that you're brand new and you're still kind of adapting and learning the ropes is wonderful, because, you know, lead generation is its own
model. And so it does take some adaptation. So I'm really looking forward to kind of learning about how you've made, you know, what kind of adjustments you've made to be effective with the leads. Up till now, do you know roughly about how many leads you've taken? And maybe you could share a little bit about either your conversion rate or how you've been doing so far.
Yeah, I think I've had probably 15 or so leads. I mean, are you talking about for the last 2 months or each month?
Well, maybe just since you got started, because you know, we're still only a couple months in here, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think about for immigration itself, I think I have about maybe 20 leads or so. And the first couple of weeks, I didn't know what to do with it, so I don't think I converted anybody. But then after a couple of weeks, I think I had 4 or 5.
Great. Okay, so, and that's a good point.
The way I look at it, my first couple of weeks when I got it, I don't think I would count. I wouldn't count that just because I didn't, you know, it was such a new thing for me. I didn't know what to do. I kind of was really learning how to swim. And so I don't think it adequately indicate of what I've been able to do with it. But I think if you look at it from February to now, which is basically when I got the momentum and figured out, ever since then, every time I get a lead from you guys, you know, between if I get every 5 leads, from that I usually can convert between 2 to 3 people out of every 5 or so. So I feel like the number, you're not, because I feel like if you look at overall from when I start, your number will be skewed just because I didn't know what to do with it the first couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah. And since that sounds like you've really turned around. Absolutely. So, and
okay.
Maybe what you could do is kind of shine a light on what it was at the beginning that maybe you didn't quite understand or what was missing in those early couple, 2 or 3 weeks that once you kind of, and then what you kind of did to adapt it and adjust your approach, which turned things around for you.
Okay. I think part of it is there was an education portion of it. I didn't really know how unbundle worked. And so I didn't quite know, first of all, what that meant. And then I didn't understand the clients who would be calling, asking for this service, what they were looking for, what their needs were. And then there was also the application of how do I have a conversation with them that indicated that this is what I have available in order to meet their needs. So I had to learn all that from kind of on the ground up. You know, from very basic. So that took me a while trying to figure out, okay, what is it that this type of service is offering? And then what is it that the clients really need and how do I give that to them? Because it's a totally different, it was a totally different way of looking and doing the practice altogether.
And what was different for you and what was it that the clients are looking for that you've kind of learned and that you've been able to adapt to that you've learned as you've gone along?
And I think this is probably, my attitude is probably pretty typical of most attorneys who have been doing this for a while, because before when clients contact me, it was because they really needed, you know, I had the attitude, they need me versus me needing them also. And so I felt when I had that attitude, there was such a disconnect. And what this, once I switch and start thinking about unbundle, then rather than looking at the situation from my perspective, I was then starting to look at the situation from the client's perspective, meaning, you know, I start thinking about myself as really my first priority as an attorney and what my office is that not because they're coming to me to meet my needs in terms of getting clients and making money and providing for my needs, but I did the switch of, okay, what is really my purpose here as an attorney? What is my office purpose here? So that was, I think, the major shift for me was trying to figure out, okay, they called me not because because I'm so good or whatever. I took out my ego and looked at it. The moment they called me, I looked at, okay, great. They are giving me a portion of their time and they're automatically trusting in me to provide their needs. How am I going to step up and meet their needs? So I think that that emotional and mental turnaround was the biggest shift for me.
And how did that shift play into the way you were communicating with clients, you know, from the first call and forward from there?
Well, because then I started focusing on saying, okay, I'm glad to hear from you. Now let's figure out what is it? How can I help you? I know you have this issue and it's really bothering and I'm sure it's causing, you know, there's some unresolved issue here. How can I make your life better? How can I team up with you and find a solution for you? And by having that attitude, that it made me flexible and it allowed me to have creativity that I didn't before. Because now all of a sudden the priority is not my office and that I need to make money and make, you know, need to bring in as many clients as I can. Now the focus is about how we're going to make this happen. From the moment I pick up the phone, I have the attitude, here's an opportunity to create a client attorney relationship. And it is my job to figure out how to make this work.
Right, right. And that's that really is a big shift, and it's going to really affect the quality of communication. I think naturally, when you're focused on creating a solution for someone and finding a way to overcome their hurdles, and it's almost like you're kind of in their corner now. You're looking at it from their perspective, and how do we solve not only your legal situation, but overcome the financial challenge and find a way to get you from where you need to be to resolve this situation. And now you're on their team. As opposed
absolutely.
To two teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there was a disconnect, meaning I was still thinking of here I am an attorney, they're clients. You know, we're at two different level, right? I'm the one that has an education and the know how to do this and they don't. So there was a little bit of a power play there. There was ego there. And I took all that out and I made myself, you know, having a sincere interest to really serve the client and really figure out and how to solve the problem. I look at myself as a tool for them to get where they need to be versus having them becoming a tool to serve my own need, which was, you know, to grow my practice, to meet my financial needs, basically.
Right. And what's interesting is once that shift became about servicing the client, your needs and your financial situation completely changed as well. You know, I
absolutely.
Remember when I
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the. I mean, it's a really difficult jump to make, right? To make that shift, it's the whole idea of the moment you give, somehow the energy shifts. By meeting the client's need, I'm also somehow. They want to also please me. They also want to take care of me because. That's just how true relationships work, right? When you have somebody that cares for you and you really care for them, they can't help but turn around and want to care for you.
Right. It's that law of reciprocity. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so did you find that once you kind of shifted your approach and mindset for working with the clients that the way they responded to you started changing? And in what way did you notice that?
Absolutely. I think, first of all, the whatever barrier that prevented us from truly communicating, because for clients, it's really scary to pick up the phone and call somebody that they don't know, you know, to need somebody at that level where to even get to that mindset of, okay, I have to let go of control of a portion of my life that is so important and give it to somebody else. And the moment if they talk to me and realize that I get it, I get how important this is for you, and I get how scary it is for you to give up this control and trust me, how do I help you overcome that so that in the end I can give you what you want and I can give you the assurance that you need to, you know, to entrust me with your a portion of your life? I don't know what happens once we're able to communicate at that level. I feel like then when I tell them, you have this problem, here's how we can solve it. Here are the options. We can go to do it this way or we can do it that way. And I would suggest that you do it this way. They're more likely to allow me to help them in the way that I think is going to be best suited for the situation to, you know, that would give them the best result possible.
Right. Because I think they really can intuitively sense that you have their best interests at heart. And it's not about, you know, what's going to make you more money or anything like that. It's more about, okay, well, you know, they can tell you've listened and are giving them advices as if you're in their shoes and you have empathy, you know, because you have empathy for the situation and are directing them accordingly.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that this is the thing that people, not just clients, but people are just really smart in general, right? We have different types of smart, whether, you know, with us attorneys, we have the logic, we have the know-how to do things. But when it comes to human interaction, we are innately very intelligent. And I think people know. People know when you're being honest with them. I think, you know, and they will understand that. They may not understand the exact know-how to get there, but I think people can feel, and they are intelligent to figure out when you really sincerely want to help them, have their best interest at heart. I think
right,
it's
there's
just,
a...
I don't know how to explain it. I think it's just, it just makes sense to me, right?
Yeah, it's like people have an inherent, I don't know, truth meter where they know, in a sense, whether the advices you're giving them are with their interest at heart, or if it's for some ulterior purpose, or if they're being steered or converted. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that's so important about taking the time to listen and ask questions and really figure out what's really going on. Because until you take the time to really hear their situation, hear their pain, you can't really direct them accordingly unless you fully understand them. Right.
Yes.
And so that,
yes,
you know, that takes the time. So how does that play into your process from the first call to then the first meeting? How long, you know, what's your initial goal on that first call? Do you kind of have them come directly into the office, or are you taking some time to have that initial call and build a connection with them? And to what level of depth do you find yourself going into on the initial call? And do you also make that first call yourself?
Okay. So there's two things at initial calls. There's two things that are at play. First of all is, and I think most attorneys are in this situation, that they take the risk whenever they take the call, that people just call because they want free advice, right? They want something for nothing, which is totally understandable. So as an attorney, you have to be careful of that, because on the one hand, you want to give to your client, but you also want to establish boundaries. So at the first, so that you don't feel like you're taking, you know, advantage of, and that your time and your knowledge is not being valued. So there's that interest. On the other hand, you have to understand that you should not always give your client, by the way, everything that they want, simply because if you do that, it's not good for them, because it's not the best way to protect them. For example, people, especially for immigration cases, people want to call my office and insist on calling me, even though they're not my client, wanting advice right away. And my assistant, you know, because she wants to help people, she is tempted to give them suggestions. And I always tell her, no, that is not acceptable, because when you do that, you're not protecting them. So that's something that I always keep in mind, is that I have to establish what the boundaries are. I have to protect myself and my knowledge and my interests at the same time protecting the client. So for my initial phone calls, I want to always let them know that I get it. I get their problem. And then I also let them know that I cannot give you what you want right now, because in order for you to give you what you want, you have to follow my instruction and do, and at least have the initial trust to do what I tell you, so that I can best protect you. That means that I cannot give you legal advice on a first initial call, because one, I don't know your full story, and two, because I'm not your attorney, and this is for your protection. And then I will tell them, I know what your problem is and why you hesitate, which is the cost, which is anybody's factor. And I tell them, in our office, we are very well aware of that, and I can give you options on how to go about this so that you can get what you want, you know, both legally and financially. We can work with you. And that's where the legal, the unbundled option comes in. I give an example. For example, if all you can afford and you're comfortable with is to filling out forms, I'm open to that. Come and talk with me and see if that's the best option for you. Or if you want me to tell you, if I'm going for an interview, what should I expect? Advise me what I should expect. What are the positive and the pros and cons in each situation? I tell them, I will be more than happy to do that for you. just come in and let's look at it together so we can see if this is the correct route for you to go.
Right. That's so important that people just know. And I like that you don't necessarily get into specific. I mean, what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you don't necessarily get into specifics on what it's going to cost or exactly what it's going to, you know,
no.
What is the best approach for the case until they get a chance to come in. And again, I think for you, does this kind of go back to what we talked about before, where you really need to make sure you really understand and fully get what the client's needing. So there's one level where you're getting them as far as what they're describing to you on the phone, but then it sounds like you really also want to get even more clear by meeting with them to really understand all the contingencies and that maybe can't be done over the phone, right?
Absolutely, because you know people come in and they think they have one issue, right, or a certain problem that can be solved this way. When you sit down with them as an attorney, you realize no, you know that's totally not what the options are, you know. For them, because remember, they don't have the knowledge that we do. They don't have the experience and the nuances. Because one fact can change the whole strategy of how their case should be, how you should work their case. And so it is really important to communicate that to them in such a way, but at the same time, don't overwhelm them with information. But I think the first initial call is to establish that I hear you. You know, I get what you want to accomplish here. And thank you for sharing that. Secondly, I have the skills to help you. Thirdly, I have many options that we can look about, you know, that we can go about this. What is your area of concern? Are you concerned about the legal aspect? Or are you concerned about the money? Either way, we can work this out. We can be creative and just figure out on how to solve it together. We're open. I think is the main message.
Right, exactly. And those, I get you. I have the skills and the knowledge to assist you. And when it comes to the legal or the finances, we can work with you in it. So you get those three really, really important yeses. And that's a really great thing to keep in mind for all the attorneys that are listening, and certainly for you, is that that's really that purpose is building that trust, that relationship, and knowing for that person to get off the phone and go, wow, they really. You know, they got what I'm needing assistance with. She sounds like she's really experienced, and they said they can work with us, and that's enough, right? And
yeah.
You know, different attorneys have different styles, but as far as how upfront they want to be, but that's really the most important part of that first call, right?
Yes,
is
exactly.
Making sure you hit those main points.
Yeah, and usually the first call lasts about between 10 to 12 minutes. It's not that much time, right? I don't think
time. No, that isn't very much time, and. Other attorneys, you know, take longer. Sometimes I think that would be on the shorter side. But it sounds like because we're not getting into specifics, and you're being very clear about them, that you know, for them to be served by you, you really need to fully understand what is they're working on. And really, for them, they just need to know this person has experience. They understand what I'm dealing with, and they're going to work with me. And that to me seems like it's enough for them to be confident to come in and take the next step.
Exactly.
On the next step, do you have a fee for them to meet with you, or how does that? What's the next step there?
Yeah, I have a consultation fee for them mm-hmm. to meet with me, and again, I'm flexible with how they do it. For example, my consultation fee is usually $150, depending on the situation. If they want to put half down right away to secure their spot, I say if you want to put $75 down, you know, you can pay it over the credit card right now. Then we know for sure that. This is a spot that you've been reserved to talk with me. You can do that, and then you can pay me the other $75 when you get to the office, or you can pay it at that time. But the $150, the whole point of that, the fee, I think it kind of puts in the idea that I am as committed to you as you are to me. And here's the rule that you have to play with a little bit. I'm flexible in working with you, but there are certain things that you need to do, and that starts with having the ability the willingness to pay for my time, even if it's just a little bit.
Right. It really establishes that give and a take.
Yes.
That take for tack relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And how often do you find folks doing the initial deposit over the phone and booking that consultation fee. And I would assume if they do that, that makes a pretty significant impact on the amount of folks that would not show up, correct?
Absolutely. The people that are willing to do the deposit right away show up, you know, 100% of the time. And then the other one, I'm getting about 75%. And if they don't, then I'm okay with it because my attitude is there's a reason why, right? I couldn't make the connection right away. For me, I want to work with people who are meant to be my client. And I'm okay if they don't show, somebody doesn't show up, or I'm not able to schedule them in. Because for me, that only leaves room for other people to come in that are better served by my service and, you know, that are meant to have a relationship with my office and me. So I think it filters itself out so that the people that I do end up serving, we have a relationship.
Hmm. Your level of acceptance there, I think, is really great. And I think that the fact that you do accept that also plays into how you communicate setting up appointments, right? Because there isn't an attachment that, you know, are you going to show up? Well, okay, are you sure you're going to come in? Like, there's none of that. It's just like, hey, if this person's going to come in, it's because I was supposed to work for them.
Absolutely.
You know,
because,
and that's
right. And I think, you know, and this is where, because it's not based on any neediness, right? I am secure in what I do and who I'm supposed to serve.
Hmm.
I'm secure in what I do and who I am and how I do my work. And so I'm not coming from this space of neediness and scarcity. And I think that's key, is that I truly believe that whatever I'm meant to do, whoever's meant to be my client are going to be my client. My only responsibility is for me to be true in my profession. I need to train myself and educate myself so that the people that come in my office are best served, that I can give them the best that they can. Everything else is kind of none of my business. And if they come to me, if we connect, it's a true, authentic connection. And that's what I want, and that's how I want my practice to be. And I think it's your intention as an attorney really sets the tone of the relationship, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I think there was even another piece there. And by the way, it's really powerful, and I think that is a really important philosophy to approach that level of acceptance and kind of almost like trust that, you know, the people that I'm working with, it's because I'm the person for them. Right.
Yes.
And then the other piece of it was the way you phrased it, that, you know, the reason why they didn't come in is I couldn't make the connection with them. And so there's also a piece that you take responsibility for looking back and go, well, maybe I didn't make a strong enough connection. And then that opens up the possibility for you to kind of reflect and think about, well, how did that call go? Well, what was it about that call where I could have made a stronger connection as well? So there's an
yes.
acceptance, there's a faith, but
yes.
also because you take responsibility, well, then I didn't make the connection. I didn't
yes.
make the connection.
Yeah, that's right.
I
it's my failure. Right. It's my failure as an attorney too, right? It's my failure as somebody when somebody calls me somehow, and if I really look back at it and be honest with myself, maybe I didn't give them enough time. Maybe I was too distracted about my other, you know, whatever's going on. And I didn't make the connection. Or maybe there was something about the client that I didn't want. So there's a whole
right.
the whole area. That's exactly, you're right. Because if I really wanted that client and I didn't make it happen, then I need to be stronger in how I communicate. I need to be better in how I communicate what their needs are and take care of them. I wasn't able to take care of them initially. Absolutely.
Right. And I can only assume that it's because of the fact that you had that level of, you know, personal responsibility and that willingness to look at kind of what you're doing and see what could have been improved or what you could have done differently that allowed you to make the shift that you have from those initial 2 to 4 weeks to, you know, the results you've been seeing most recently.
Yes, and that's why Grant's been getting like texts from me. You know, or else I go, oh, Graham, I'm trying this out and it didn't work. What am I doing wrong? Exactly. That's when I reach out to, you know, one of you guys and say, oh, I'm trying this out somehow. I'm not connecting. Help me out. What are some of, you know, your ideas? What are people's experience? you know, how can I improve? How do I make a connection? Where is the missing link here? Absolutely. That's right.
And what were some of the things that either Mr. Scott or our team shared with you that had the biggest impact or that you were kind of new perspectives for you?
There was a script. Glenn presented me the script of how I should do the initial consult. And when I first started using it, I didn't get the purpose of why I need to talk about this in this section. You know, what is the purpose of the second section and what is the purpose of the third section? Once I get what each conversation piece and what it was trying to do and how it impacted the client or the potential client, then I was able to make sure that I follow those series of steps in all my conversation. I mean, I adapt how I talk, but I needed to make sure that those steps are being followed. So the script, the initial phone consult script, is really important, and it's worth the time to figure out why those steps are there and what the purpose are.
Yeah, maybe we can dive into that a little bit. And so maybe you can give your insight into what you kind of came to realize about the purpose behind each section of the script, and then you and I can kind of chat about it because I was certainly involved in writing it. But I would love to hear your perspective on what you've kind of come to realize about each section of the script and what each purpose is, because every attorney we work with will get a copy of that script.
Okay. You know, when you have the first portion of introducing yourself.
Yes.
I realize that I really, just for that connection to happen, I have to really slow it down and calm myself because they need to know who I am. And so that's really important piece, is to introduce
right.
yourself properly. And that's your invitation. That's an invitation for them. Tell me, what is it that made you reach out to us or to, you know, the service? And I listen. So I listen for about 15 seconds or a minute. This is the part where I really hear them, and then I give it back to them. And then I expand on it with the information that they have based on, you know, this is where the experience of the attorney of filtering out what the issue is, going to the core of the issue that the client is coming with, is really important right here. And then the third part is, what would you like to see happen? That's an opportunity for me as an attorney to really, again, explain to them, I hear you. Let me give it back to you. Am I hearing you correctly? This is what you want to happen. Is that right? Yes. Is there anything else? And when you ask, you know, if you ask, start having the conversation, is there anything else? That's where they go, oh, yeah. Now that you ask me, I want this to happen, and I want that to happen. And so that gave me a clue that their case is not simply about what they come up, you know, what they originally contacted us about, but there might be a whole area that needs to be addressed at a later time.
Yeah, this is such an important component as well, because a lot of times, you know, when you first look at the lead, it says the father just took my 13-year-old and I haven't seen him for 2 days. Can I just go take the child, right? And it comes up as it's just a question, right?
Right.
And so they go, oh, well, this person just wants me to ask them a question, and they want to give me free legal advice. This is not a good lead, right? At the surface, you might think that, but if you just take it one step deeper,
yes,
and go, okay, bring me up to speed with what's going on, and then they give you the story, and then you hear the whole context of the
mm-hmm.
fact that they're now separated, and
yeah.
there's no custody order in place, and they need, and this has been a common problem, and so it sounds, you can look at it and go, oh, well, this person needs to get a visitation order established, right?
Yeah,
and then,
yes.
then it's a whole situation underlying,
yes.
you know, because people don't know any better than just to ask a question, because they think they need to just do something now. But really, there's this whole
yes.
context and underlying story that once you kind of open up to it, you start to see all the different issues and the ways in which you can serve that person.
Exactly. When you, this question right here is really important, because you're not, when you get to this point and ask them, is there something else? It's an open-ended question. This is where, you know, depending on where the clients are at emotionally or in, you know, mentally, you don't know what's going to come out, right? This is also where you can not only get an idea of their logical intention, meaning what is the practical thing that they want solved, but that you also get their emotional state, meaning at the end of this, what is the greater purpose of that they're trying to achieve? Because there's always a bigger picture. They come to us as an attorney with one issue. It's really small, right? At this point, this is where you get in the bigger picture of the client's life. What is the end result that they're hoping, that they're trying to create? You just ask them, yes, this is one thing that you want me to do. But at the end of it all, if I can help you, how can I make a difference in your life, whatever it is? Where do you see this? This is an opportunity for them to really open their heart up and say, oh, you really want to know? Here, if I can have any way I want, this is how my life should look. Then as an attorney, you go, oh, okay, let's see if we can make it happen, at least get one step closer. How about that?
Right, and it also, not only do the clients feel heard, in the sense that, wow, this person really wants to know what's most important to me, but it also allows them, allows them to get clear on, well, what really do I want to accomplish here? Well, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, that the mother or the father can't come between, you know, but just because we're having a disagreement or just because we don't get along, that now is going to come between my ability to be a parent to my child, right? And so now that comes through. And then they get clear on that it's a bigger, larger issue that they want to have clarity and know that they can be there for their child even if they're having challenges in their relationship, for example.
Right, right. And, I mean, you're talking about family law right here, right? And here's the other issue that I've discovered is with family law, you can also get a sense at this point of why they are in the situation in the first place. You can say, oh, it sounds like what's happening is there is a little bit of power play here. You have a parenting plan that's currently in place, and it seems like they're kind of maneuvering in such a way where it's very difficult for you to implement this. It seems to me like you feel there's a loss of power here. Let's see if we can put you in a place where you feel a little more control with what's going on so that the other parent will follow the parenting plan that's in place. And then let's see, we can rework it and look at the current plan that you have so that maybe we can change it and put it in a different wording that will eliminate this.
Right, because once you kind of get a clear picture of their goal and what they want to see happen, and then with your legal knowledge, you can speak directly to a shorter version, but just the pathway.
Yes.
And open, and so they can see the door, that there is a path and that they can do something, and all of a sudden it helps them see that, wow, you know, this person really might be able to help me, and because you know what they need help with, what they're trying to accomplish now. And so you can then paint the picture to how to go about it.
Right here is when I kind of get a sense of what their fear is behind the process that they're trying to do. And sometimes based on that fear, they think, oh, this is a way to do it, right? Because they've been talking to other people on the phone. They've been Googling it. You know, they've been listening to the news. And when they come and talk to me, once I know the fear, I can say, here's the, you know, yeah, you can do it that route, but I think here's a better solution for you that will not only get you what you want, but it will help, you know, it will maintain the integrity, and it will set you in a way, it will create a stronger path for you, for your future, for you and your family's future. There's all other options out there, but I think I have a better one. And you get to choose which one you want to do it, and I will help you achieve it. That's all up to you.
Right, and maybe we can speak to that a little bit. So once you've gotten clear on their goal, and maybe you've spoken to, you know, the pathway that can be made there, do you also continue into the next three or four questions where you continue to ask, you know, is this something you're really, you know, something you feel you have to do now? Have you talked to some attorneys? Yeah.
Yes. No, I do that. This is probably the briefest portion of my conversation with them, because most people that, especially immigration, by the time they contact me, or I contact them, they're not going this blindly. They're really smart. They've done their homework. But the fact that you bring this up kind of reminds them, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to cost. Here's the financial burden that we have to do it. But we're more than happy, and most people are more than happy to do that as long as they get the assurance that this is going to go towards the end result that they want, that it will give them a better opportunity. and it will solve their problem. And they're not going to be taken for a ride, basically.
Right, right, exactly. And it also clarifies, because you're asking them, you're not telling them, you're not saying, this is something you need to do, you need to do this now, right? You're asking them, is this something you're just looking into, or is this something that you feel you have to do now? And they say to you, no, I have to do this. I really need to get this done. I'm tired of, you know, wondering if I'm going to get, you know, kicked out, or I want to know that I have a right to live in this country and to be a citizen mm-hmm. and to be a working citizen and, mm-hmm. and contributor, you know, like, mm-hmm. so they start telling you and reminding themselves about what it is that they really want to accomplish. And they say a man convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So instead of you telling them, they're now sharing with you why they have to move forward. And that for them is really a powerful drive to as a reminder to take the next step and actually take action.
Absolutely, because this is where exactly this is where you empower them, right? How do they want to do this? Do they want to do it now or later? This is all up to you. Nobody can make this decision for you. You're not as disempowered as you think you are. No, this is yours. You can make the shift. You can take the next step. What do you want to do with it?
Right. Okay, and then towards the very end there, do you ask them kind of where they're at financially, or do you talk about, or do you go straight into talking about the fact that you're flexible, and, or how do you approach that ending part there?
I approach.
And then the transition to the consultation there.
Yeah, I would ask them at the end, you know, I would say, here are some of the options. We can do this way, that way. I would ask them, for your situation, what would you be comfortable? How would you be comfortable starting this out? What would you like? Do you want me to do full representation for you? Or would you like to do, you know, break it into pieces? What kind of financial obligation would be comfortable for you? And we can start wherever you are. That's how I do it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it places it solely on their hands to decide, you know, and also goes back to, I'm here to serve you. So you tell me how it works, how it's going to work best for you, how it can work so that you're comfortable and this is something that you know you can do and accomplish. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Okay. So then let's fast forward a bit. You then schedule them in for an appointment, whether they pay the fee or not, and they come in. Maybe you can talk a little bit about, because you shared earlier that, you know, of four or five people, you know, two or three are retaining, which means that the most people that come in the office are taking the first step. So talk a little bit about your process for when they come in the office and how you kind of drill down into the way in which you're going to be able to serve them both legally and financially.
They come in, they have an intake, you know, the initial intake, which is basically their information, vital information that I need to start on open my file. And then I go in and sit down and really start documenting the information that I need to figure out what their options are. It usually takes me an hour and a half to filter everything out. And then usually, a lot of times, some of the options and the legal remedy that's available to them, solution that's available to them, they didn't even know that it was available to them. So much of my immigration client is about educating them about more opportunities than they realize, more options than they realize. So I look at my initial consultation as an opportunity to educate them so that they can have all the information that they need to make a good choice for their life.
Right. Okay. And for a lot of folks, so now that they've gotten clear that they have a pathway to move forward, how do you kind of work around, and what kind of options have you been kind of working on putting together to work with, you know, find ways to match people's budget financially?
I usually have a flat fee, a flat rate of a certain service. And then, for example, if I wanted to, let's take one, the fiancé visa that we were talking about. For example, if I say that process, the overall cost is $1,550. I said, in order for me to start that process, I would require, you know, a half down of that amount. So you break it down to maybe, you know, $750 or whatever. Is that something that you can do in order for me to start the process immediately for you. And most of the time they go, yeah, that's no problem, because they work in, you know, they've been doing their research and homework. They know that it could potentially cost them somewhere between $2,500 to $5,000.
Right.
So I usually have them, I break it down one step at a time. I would tell them, you know, for a fiancé visa, it will be a series, usually series of three steps here. The first one is for you to get approved, meaning to get an okay from the U.S. government that you can file this. And the second is to have, there's a consulate processing. In order for us to get to step two, we have to be successful at step one. And I suggest that let's focus all of our energy on getting at step one done and accomplished first. And that first step is going to cost this much. Can you put half down so that I can get going on it for you right away?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the advantages of immigration, is that it really is step by step. And so it sounds like you really can do a pay as you go, because even if the whole thing costs $1,600, let's focus on step one. It's going to take me this amount of time, whatever. This is the rate to do step one.
Yes.
And you kind of, like, they kind of work on each step at a time, and that gives them the time to be able to come up with the funds on each step and get through the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to realize that the clients, they know what's ahead of them legally. Most of the time, they have been saving up for months, if not, you know, a year or so to do this process. They have the fund available. It's a matter of finding somebody that they trust to do this for them.
Yeah, and that's really one of the biggest differences, I think, between family law and immigration, especially when it comes to working leads, is that when people have a pathway to becoming a resident, a permanent resident of the United States, or getting rights to live in the United States, a lot of times they've known well in advance what the timeline is going to be for them to do it. They've researched it. And so when that timeline is up, they've planned for so long, they have the resources together, they have a good idea of how it's going to get done. Whereas with family law, a lot of times, like, well, they're not letting me see my kid, I need to get something established, or I just got served paperwork, I need to take action. And so sometimes it's a lot less unexpected, and so the approach has to be a lot different. Whereas in immigration, it sounds like people have a lot more kind of mental preparation about, you know, having their finances together and then, you know, being ready to move forward when the timing is right.
Yes, I mean, that is true. But what my limited experience with working with family law, also, you have to remember that people don't exist in an isolation. They have families and community supporting them, no matter how little they have. With the family law cases that I've been able to retain, what happened is the person who contacted me may not have the resource, but if you communicate with them and kind of talk with them, what ended up happening was they were getting their parents to pay for me. They were getting, you know, their aunts or uncles. It's a family event. That's why it's called family law, right? Nobody's going to, you know, when there's an emergency, they realize and they pull together all the resources that they have. So the money, the source of money is different, but you just have to figure out how to encourage them and tell them how to do it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it's another reason why you can never prejudge who it is you're talking to on the phone. You might go, well, this person isn't working. There's no way I can help this person. Goodbye. When in reality, especially in family, like you just said, it's a perfect example that person may have, most people have some type of a support system, so that if their child was sick or dying in a hospital across the country and the plane ticket was $1,000 to get there as a last minute ticket, they could get it together.
They make it happen. They make it happen, right? Absolutely.
Right.
We make it happen, because that's the thing. You know, we don't exist in isolation. It
right.
may take us a little more time to figure out, oh, we have all this support. You know, I mean, that's the thing, right? And I mean, I can't emphasize that enough, that as an attorney, we're just one of the many supports that they have. And we may be the last person that they ever want to get in touch with, because, you know, nobody likes to call the attorney, right? You know, I think it's just a matter of connecting and helping them through the emotional trauma and crisis that they're dealing with.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of that, because you just never know who each person is, what their support resources are. And so you just go about serving each person in the most positive way, making them there was another mastermind call we did. I'm blanking on who it was I was with, but his philosophy was, look, every person I talk to is going to be better off when the call is over or they've done meeting with me. It doesn't matter if I'm going to just help them with the next step, or they end up retaining me for just one part of it, or I do the whole case. They're going to be better off because I talk to them.
Absolutely.
And that's his focus. And people get that, and even if they can't move forward right then, they remember that, they remember how you treated them, and they come back and get the resources together. That's you know where it starts to make a difference over time. That starts to add up.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's it, right? We're kind of all connected somehow. I feel like I just have to do my job and make every connection count, and give whenever I can.
Right. Yeah, I'm not surprised that that's really making, you know, once you made that shift, that, you know, it really just plays into every aspect of the first call, the second call, when you meet with them, you know, them getting the resources together and knowing that you're on their side. I mean, it's really been the kind of theme of our call today, but it's so true. And especially when we're working, an internet lead generation type of service where they don't know you yet, they don't know who you are, they found you online, they're scared, they don't know whether they can trust you or not. And especially, you know, I would assume people are afraid, especially in immigration matters, that maybe they don't even know if you were some kind of a trap or if you can be trusted.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I tell that all the time. Exactly. That was one of my first conversation with them when I sit them down is, whose side am I on? I make that clear for them. Right away, because there's that misconception. You have to understand your clients and where their fear are and eliminate that as soon as you can so that they can have the comfort to meet with you and reveal themselves to you so that you can have the privilege of serving them and helping them. That is
right.
Very, very important, I think.
Right. Well, Sue, this has been just a really enjoyable call. I appreciate your willingness to openly share and also just your willingness to serve and just be there for people, find out what it is they need, and then do whatever it takes to get them through the process, make them feel comfortable and confident that you can get the job done. And it sounds like so far it's been working really, really well. So we're certainly looking forward to continue working with you through going forward and continue to send the clients. We couldn't be happier with the feedback we're getting so far. So thank you for taking the time today, and we're certainly going to look forward to continue working with you going forward as well.
Thank you.
For everyone else who's listening, thanks so much for participating in the call, and we will see you all on the next episode. Thanks again, Sue.
Thank you.
For more information about how our lead generation services can help you grow your practice, visit our website at www.unbundledattorney.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to subscribe so you get each new episode as soon as it's available, and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Once again, thanks for listening.